Welcome to the Geek Generation. I am joined today by another podcaster, one that you've heard plugged continually on this show. His name is Todd Tiuli of Dangerous Memories. How are you doing, Todd?
Excellent, Rob. Thank you for having me.
Excellent. We have a lot planned for episode 3 of our podcast. Last week we asked you, the fans, what summer movie are you looking forward to? We got a total of 3 responses, which I had to beg people continuously for. So I'm hoping we get a few more this week. Our first one comes in from one of our own staff members, Brian, saying the movie I am most looking forward to has to be Scott Pilgrim vs. the Universe, based on the fantastic graphic novel series. It's got a great cast and is directed by Edgar Wright, who did Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz. I am beyond stoked for it. How about you, Todd? What do you think?
I'm very pumped, but is that the name of the movie? I thought it was Scott Pilgrim vs. the World.
You are absolutely correct. It is Scott Pilgrim vs. the World.
Nice.
Which Brian should definitely know.
Yeah, if you want to see the movie so bad, you think you'd know the title.
Right? And the fact that we're bashing him in the podcast, I'm sure we'll get a retort pretty quickly.
I really can't wait to see that movie, though.
It does look really fantastic. Good. The whole the visual effect and everything looks awesome.
Definitely. Like in the trailer, even when you see like her ring the doorbell and you see the little ding-dong like float above it.
Oh, yeah. And
it's great. I love the little touches like that.
The fact that he reaches up and hits the one up in the air and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. He says he's going to get a life.
Yeah, that's going to be so good. The second one comes in from Megan. She says, the summer movie I'm most looking forward to is 12, coming out July 30th. I'm a big fan of book-to-film adaptations like High Fidelity, To Kill a Mockingbird, and The Virgin Suicides, and this is one I've been looking forward to for a while. It's based on the novel by Nick McDonnell and is directed by Joel Schumacher, my mortal enemy. That's me adding that in. Who, despite some poor directing choices like Batman and Robin, generally puts together a good movie. The book and hopefully the film has undertones reminiscent of Less Than Zero, which is a favorite cult classic of mine from the 1980s. I couldn't care less about Chase Crawford as the main character. I'm more excited to see Rory Culkin and to hear Mr. 24 himself, Kiefer Sutherland, as the film's narrator. 12 is definitely a movie I have not heard of. How about you?
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
Yeah, Megan likes her obscure things. I remember she sent in a fairly obscure Disney film for one of your questions on your show.
Just one of the shorts.
Yeah, but she
it's
likes...
funny, though, because I feel like I should know about 12 just because of who was involved. Like, Joel Schumacher is a big enough director that I feel like I should know it. Trace Crawford's huge right now. Kiefer Sutherland. Rory Culkin, who I think is in Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, too.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, it's weird.
And I don't even remember him coming up. Like, where did his career start? All of a sudden, he's in a couple movies coming out this summer. It's just strange.
He was in a few movies when he was younger. Who was the other one? It was Rory and...
Macaulay, his brother?
No, there was another one.
Oh, Kiernan?
Kieran, or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, it's somewhere along those lines. I don't know, but I can't distinguish between the two brothers aside from Macaulay anyway.
Yeah, they look a lot alike, too.
They do, very much so. Last email we have is actually from you, Todd.
Yeah, it is.
Todd decided to send one in, forgetting that he was going to be on this week, so I'll read it anyway. Hello, sir. Todd from Dangerous Memories here. There are a few movies I really want to see, and 2 are this month. Predators. Everything about it looks awesome. Love the cast. Love Predators. 2, The Expendables. Could be the greatest movie ever, or at least a great time at the Cineplex. I totally agree there. And Inception looks incredible. There's no way I won't love it. Nolan can do no wrong. Love the show. I appreciate that you love the show. And
I love it.
I totally agree that Christopher Nolan can do no wrong, which is one of the reasons that I am so pumped he is more or less godfathering the Superman reboot.
Yeah, I was really excited when I saw that.
Yeah, and Christopher Nolan, I mean, being the Batman fan that I am, I'm a huge Christopher Nolan fan.
Yeah, he did a lot of help.
Yeah, I didn't even notice so much until I saw the Inception trailer the other day, too, that he really likes to reuse cast members the same way that Apatow and Adam Sandler like to bring in their familiar crews, like Michael Caine and Cillian Murphy and Ken Watanabe, you're right, are all in Inception. So
yeah, I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, it looks amazing, and Leonardo DiCaprio is fantastic. So
I love Leonardo DiCaprio. And I feel like he got a bum rap just for doing Titanic. Because actually, I think I heard this on your podcast. You guys are saying, like, everything since, like, Catch Me If You Can, he's been good in. But even before Titanic, when he did stuff like The Basketball Diaries and What's Eating Gilbert Grape, yep. I mean, he was pretty fantastic even before Titanic.
Admittedly, he was. I think he had the reputation still left over from Growing Pains, was it? Kind of holding him down a little bit. But he's so far broken away from that.
Yeah. Well, he wanted to get away from it, like, more than anything.
Oh, no doubt.
After Titanic, he was like, I need to make all these, you know, not Titanic movies.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's see. What else do we have? Well, that's all our listener emails for this week. So we are going to go right into our geek outs and freak outs. What are you geeking out over this week, Todd?
I'm geeking out over something. I've actually mentioned this on my podcast a lot, and it's because I just watched another one of the movies for my AFI Top 100. And again, I'm geeking out on Charlie Chaplin.
Really?
Like, I don't know what it is, but whenever I watch one of his movies, I get, like, sucked in, and I can't stop, like, watching his other movies that aren't even on the list, or I bought his biography, and I watched Chaplin with Robert Downey Jr. I just can't get enough. It's really weird, the amount of geeking out I do over something that's so, like, was not even in my radar 6 months ago.
So have you just been consuming constant Chaplin movies?
Well, I've been, like, I've been buying them like crazy at work whenever I see them. And I've just been trying to watch as many as I can. I bought this rare DVD that was hard to find, but it has a bunch of shorts that were almost lost in the fire of like the 1800s or something.
Wow.
And it has, it's like a DVD of just old shorts and stuff, and Chaplin's on there. And I just remember I was really pumped because 2 weeks ago, actually, they found a rare, like they found a new film that no one had seen since like 1912 or something like that, that he's in.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, I admittedly have not seen a lot of Chaplin's work, unfortunately, so that stuff's all new to me. Yeah, I mean, I know he's a huge talent. I've seen bits and pieces, but I don't think I've ever even seen a complete movie of his.
Yeah, I didn't until a few weeks ago or a few months ago when we watched Modern Times for the podcast, and ever since then, I've been trying to watch as many as I possibly can.
So for people who aren't totally familiar with Chaplin's work, if there were one movie that you would recommend to kind of get them pulled into some of his best stuff, what would you recommend?
Well, the two that now that I've watched for the AFI are Modern Times and The Gold Rush. And I mean, they were both fantastic. And actually, The Gold Rush is the movie that he wants to be remembered by. That's what he said. Like, so I guess The Gold Rush would be the one to watch.
And I did listen to that episode, and you had mentioned that there's actually two different versions of that particular film, right?
Yes, all the DVDs came out in like these Charlie Chaplin collections. So each one has like a lot of special features. And The Gold Rush has the original 1925 one, the silent one with like the piano music and whatnot. And then since he wants to be remembered by it, he re-released it like in 1948, I believe, with like his own score. Like he put it, like, because he wrote a lot of music too.
Okay.
So he put his own score on it, and like I think he narrated some of it and stuff. And yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, he did a lot. He's like a virtuoso, especially if you watch like the movie Chaplin. You learn a lot about him. Or even in his book, I didn't realize that he was one of the people who started United Artists.
Oh, no kidding. I didn't realize that either.
Yeah. So, I mean, he did so much in like such a small amount of time. You know?
Wow. See, I would have no idea about any of this.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Like the Chaplin book I have, I can't remember who wrote it, but I've been reading it a lot lately. And it's just the stuff that he did. I don't know. It's just so cool.
Wow, that is awesome then. He's definitely a multi-talented guy that clearly isn't given the full recognition that he deserves.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Anything else you're geeking out over this week?
You know. Oh, I mentioned this on my podcast too. I'm really geeking out over the Harry Potter trailer.
Oh, yes. That looks amazing.
Like, it gives me chills. It gives me chills every time I watch it.
Did you see the one that was included on the Lego Harry Potter? Oh, wait, you must, because you're playing that now, right?
I'm playing it, but I didn't know there was one on there.
Apparently, there is a trailer. I don't know if you have to earn it or anything, but I posted it on the site. It's another version of the one that's been released already, and I think it only has two alternate scenes, but it's arranged a little differently, and it's a little shorter.
That's cool.
Yeah, so
I love the game. The game's fantastic.
Oh, the Lego games are awesome in general. I think I've played all of them except for Lego Harry Potter so far.
It's really good. I highly suggest you pick it up ASAP.
Yeah, well, one of the reasons it's so cool, I mean, like, Batman was good, Indiana Jones was good. I think the Star Wars one was so great because you use the Force and you move the blocks around that way, and it made a lot more sense as far as the building goes. And then Harry Potter, you use the magic to kind of...
Yeah, it makes a lot more sense to make this stuff.
Right, absolutely. So I can't wait to play that one. And the Lego games have an amazing sense of humor about them where they never need to use the dialogue, and I love that.
Yeah, that's what I was saying to my fiance, Kate. I was saying how, like, I love that they can have conversations without actually using words.
Oh, yeah, it feels like another version of The Sims where they're all going around, like, just making noises and facial expressions, and you wouldn't think Legos can convey that much emotion when they have such basic faces, but they're so good at doing it.
It's true. I love the games. They're fantastic.
Awesome. All right. Well, as far as what I'm geeking out over this week, and this is not just this week, this is a constant geek out that I've been addicted to for a while, and that's Twitter, because I know you're on Twitter as well. And
yes, I am.
I love following celebrities and doing everything I possibly can to get them to talk to me.
I do the same thing.
Yeah. Have you had any success with getting, like, retweets or replies or anything like that?
Yeah, I've gotten a few replies. Like, Kevin Smith has replied to me a few times.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, because, like, I talk to him about his comics a lot, and I think that seems to get him to want to reply.
Very cool. Yeah, you have to be creative about what you throw in there, because a lot of these people have so many people following them that for them to get to pay attention to you, and also it's timing of, like, when they are on, what you're saying to them, and all these factors. It's very rare that you're going to get a response or a retweet, but I've picked up quite a few in the short time that I've been on Twitter. I think I've been on Twitter for less than a year at this point, and I already have, I think, 11 celebrities that have retweeted or replied to me.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I don't know what that says about me as a person.
It's just fun to do.
It is, but like, do I really need to get the satisfaction out of constantly harassing celebrities so that they will talk to me?
There's so much satisfaction when it does happen, and you just feel so, I don't know.
Yeah, there really is.
Vindicated.
I want to give a few of those celebrities credit for how down to earth they are. And I don't know what it is about Twitter, but I think a lot of celebrities are using it because they realize what it does for their audience. It humanizes them in a way, and there is a connection there. I'm surprised a lot of people are as open as they are when there's the potential of stalkers and saying exactly where they are and things like that. That's kind of dangerous.
Yeah.
But there are a few that are very down to earth, respond way more than you think they would, and I wanted to give a few of them some credit, like Jamie King from movies such as Fanboys, such as
Sin City,
Bulletproof Monk. She is incredibly down to earth. I think she only has 3,000 something followers, so the odds that she's going to respond to you are probably a little higher than other celebrities. But one of the things she did for us was to post a link of the Geek Generation site to all of her followers when we first started up, and I could not thank her enough for that because our traffic increased dramatically when she did that.
Yeah, Jamie King's awesome. And actually, I have a question to see if you remember this. When she first came out, like, I don't know, 7 years ago or something like that, was she billed as James King?
You are absolutely right. And I believe she changed it for multiple reasons, one of which it was more of a boy's name. And because it's James King, like that name.
I remember seeing her on, like, MTV and stuff. And it always said James King. I was like, who's this guy?
And if I remember correctly, I believe Bulletproof Monk might have been the last movie where she used her name, James King.
Yes, that's exactly what I thought, because I remember seeing it on the poster for Bulletproof Monk.
Right. And I think that's one of my favorite performances of her, too.
Yeah, she's fantastic in it.
Yeah. That was very underrated.
And she's great in Sin City.
Yes, yes. Great movie. Great movie. Yeah, she's awesome. But not only did she do that, she recently, my brother and his wife had twins. It was about 2 months ago. The morning that they were born, before I went to go visit them at the hospital, I was checking IMDb once in a while. I see, like, whose birthday it is, and lo and behold, Jamie King's birthday.
Oh, that's awesome.
So my nephew and niece share a birthday with her. I sent her a happy birthday, and I said, oh, my brother just had twins, da-da-da-da-da-da. They share a birthday with you. That's so cool. She responds back and says, congratulations, that's awesome. So
that's great.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. Another one who's awesome on Twitter is Maria Menounos. What is it, Extra she hosts? Access Hollywood she's a host on. But she's been on various TV shows as well. She did a guest spot on One Tree Hill for a while, which I'm sad to admit that I watch. And she was in Fantastic Four.
Oh, was she?
As the girl on the slopes with Johnny Storm.
I never saw those movies.
Oh, that's too bad. I would say rush out and go see them. I mean, they're fun, but yeah, you know. But anyway.
I love Chris Evans. That's about it.
That's true. Maria Menounos has responded to me on 4 separate occasions. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. There's a ton of others I could get to. Like the when I had my birthday the first time around, I was like, it's my first birthday on Twitter. I wonder how many people I can solicit for a happy birthday message. And I think I messaged 5 celebrities. I got 3 back. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. I was like, wow, that's pretty good ratio. One was...
That is really good.
One was Maria Menounos. One was Diora Baird. I don't know if you're familiar with her.
I do know her.
And the other was Mr. Ken Anderson.
I have no idea who that is.
Oh, are you not a wrestling watcher?
I used to be a huge wrestling watcher.
Oh, okay. Formerly Mr. Kennedy in WWE.
That doesn't help me at all.
All right, sorry. He's on TNA now, and he goes by his real name, Ken Anderson. So he.
I just watched your wrestling video recently, though.
Oh, yeah? How did you think?
Yeah, it was a good times. I liked it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something we haven't mentioned on the show yet, the fact that I'm a professional wrestler.
Part-time. Oh, I'm sorry if I'm...
No, that's all right. You're not stepping on anything. I hadn't gotten around to it because it hadn't come up.
No, it was awesome, though. Oh. I was really impressed.
Very cool. Yeah, if you want to see fans out there, if you want to watch me wrestle, search for either Rob Impact on YouTube or... The Night Angel Berserker. I wrestle under both names.
I like the mask. That was the thing I really liked.
That was a very pricey mask, but I got it from the same guy who made Kane's, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, as did my tag team partner. So
that's cool.
Yeah. Back to the topic at hand. Yeah, I would mention a lot of other people. I mean, I got in a fight with Ralph Sorella over Smallville, so that made me feel good.
Is that that dick? Sorry.
No, that's...
I was watching that happen, and I actually unfollowed him after that because I was so mad.
Did you?
Like, get this guy out of here, yeah.
The Ralph Sorella from the Howard Stern Show.
Is that who that is?
That is.
Oh, man.
You didn't know who that was? The My Geek Time guy?
I can't remember why I even followed him to begin with.
Maybe because I was?
I don't know. I was just infuriated when I was watching that.
Are you a Howard Stern fan?
I had Sirius for like a month when I got my new car,
yep.
And I listened to it all the time, and I loved it. So I started, you know, downloading the show every day. After I lost Sirius, and I loved it, and then I just fell off when he had one of his, you know, 2-week vacations.
Oh, okay, yeah, he's in the middle of one of those right now.
He is. Yeah, and it's just I just lost track of it.
Yeah,
and I started listening to more podcasts.
Oh, okay, well, yeah, they fill up the time pretty well. I've had to go into a lot of those. I talked about that last episode, but
yeah,
I've been substituting a lot of my Howard Missing with podcasts lately. Aside from that, I've gotten responses from Eva Omori.
I met her, you know.
No kidding, where?
I PA'd on a movie that shot in Providence, and she was in it.
Very cool.
She was in it, Chris Marquette was in it, and Jason Ritter was in it.
What movie?
The Education of Charlie Banks.
I have heard that title
directed
before.
Directed by Fred Durst.
No kidding.
Yeah, it was his first directorial effort.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have you seen it since? I'm sure you have.
No, I haven't.
Really? No? Are you serious?
It's funny because I have a credit for it on IMDb, but I haven't seen it. I have it. I recently found it at work because it took forever for it to come out on DVD.
Wow.
And what's great, though, is I guess they showed it at like Tribeca, and he won like the Best Newcomer Award or something like that.
No kidding. See, that'd be the first thing I did if I worked on a movie. I would go buy it and like watch it right away.
Yeah, I don't know why I haven't yet. Actually, here's a little side story is that his brother, Corey, is awesome.
Really?
Corey Durst is such a cool guy. When we were scouting locations, I was driving one of the cars, and it was him and the assistant director with me. And he was just such a cool guy. Like, we were scouting mansions in Rhode Island,
mm-hmm.
and it was right on the beach. So, like, me and him were just, like, chilling over by the beach while everyone was checking out the houses and stuff.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was just really cool. He was a really cool, down-to-earth guy.
Who knew?
Yeah, I know, right?
Let's see, who else? Kofi Kingston, another wrestler guy. I got, do you know who Chris Gore is?
No.
From G4?
I don't watch a lot of G4.
Oh, okay. He's,
I do, every now and then I do, but then other times it annoys me.
Oh, gotcha. I can see that. Yeah, Chris Gore does the DV Doomsday segment on Attack of the Show.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
He had started up, what was that site? I can't even think of it at the moment. Filmthreat.com.
Oh, okay, yeah, I know Film Threat.
Yeah, he recently sold it, I believe, a couple months ago. So,
oh, wow.
And the last one I know you'll appreciate, I got a direct message yesterday from Chris Hardwick.
What? Really? I did too.
Did
Not
you?
Not yesterday, but recently, yeah.
No kidding.
That's awesome.
I had messaged him because for whatever reason I can't use his links. I click on them and they don't go anywhere.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I had messaged him, and I was just like, I'm not getting anything when I click your links. It just says page not found. He's like, they're working for everybody else. And I don't know.
Huh.
So... Yeah.
Yeah, like last week or something. They pretty recently on Netflix Watch Instantly, they finally uploaded all of the Comedy Central Presents.
Yep.
And his band, Hard and Firm, is one of them. So I watched it and then I just messaged him. I'm like, listen, I finally got to see your Comedy Central Presents and I think it's the best one yet. And he just, you know, direct messaged me and said, thanks for that.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, he seems like a cool, like, down to earth type guy.
Yeah, his podcast I listen to a lot.
Oh, I love it. I recently got into it. I think I have listened to like 20 in a row or something.
Yeah, they're really good.
The in particular, the one with Craig Ferguson was amazing.
That was great.
Such a great episode. I actually emailed Hardwick, too, to see if he would do a bumper for this show. He hasn't gotten back to me yet, but fingers are still crossed.
I emailed just to ask how they record other areas, because I'm so curious to know. Like, we were talking about this off air.
Right.
I want to be able to record without my laptop and mixer at the ready.
Right. Yeah, I've heard a few recommendations for digital audio recorders and things like that, but I need to look into it a lot more and do my research.
Yeah.
All right. I don't want to go too long on that topic. So
sorry,
no.
I took you off track so many times.
Please, I was the one taking it way too far. Let's move right into Freak
Out. Oh, before you go on, actually.
Yes, go ahead.
One of the best responses I got recently was from Aisha Tyler.
Oh, yeah.
The stand-up comedian, and she was on Talk Soup. She was like, that was Talk Soup for a while.
Yep.
But she mentioned something about watching The Marine with John Cena.
Uh-oh.
And how it's fun just to watch like a good-looking guy run around in a tight t-shirt or something.
Yeah.
And I was just like, are you sure you don't mean a retarded-looking Matt Damon?
Oh.
And I finally got her. She was like, haha, good pull. I was proud of myself.
See, that's the kind of creativity you need. I mean, really. Anyway, all right, let's go into freakouts then.
Oh, freakout!
What do you got?
This is kind of old news because, I mean, he doesn't have a movie coming out anytime in the immediate future. But I'm really sick of Sam Worthington.
Yeah, he had a few, like Avatar, Clash of the Titans.
Terminator Salvation.
Just boom, 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 yeah.
Yeah, and like they're trying to ram this dude down our throat for no apparent reason. You know, like I'm sure he was hot potatoes in Australia or whatever. But like he just comes in these huge blockbusters, you know?
It's true.
And I'm just like, what's the deal?
He came out of nowhere, seemingly.
Yeah.
Don't really remember. I'm sure I've seen him in things, but I don't recall any particular movies where I saw him before.
I don't think he was. I think before Terminator, he was just in a bunch of Australian stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so like he didn't really do anything here at all.
Hmm.
And I think Mick G saw him in something, was like, all right, I'm going to put him in Terminator Salvation. And then while he was shooting that, James Cameron, quote unquote, discovered him.
Okay.
And was shooting Avatar. And in the middle of shooting Avatar, he left, did Terminator Salvation, and then came back to finish Avatar.
Gotcha.
And I don't know, it's just ridiculous. I don't think he's a good actor. I think he's exactly the same in every movie. I saw him on Jimmy Fallon one night, and he looked like he was on crack the entire time.
Oh, jeez.
he couldn't stop moving, and he kept doing these weird mannerisms, and I don't know. And according to IMDb here, he has like 11 movies that he's working on.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's just ridiculous. And it's not fair because, you know, Terminator Salvation was going to make money no matter what.
Right.
Avatar was going to make money no matter what. And Clash of the Titans, I mean, no one went and saw it because of Sam Worthington.
That's true. He's not necessarily a draw, but at the same time, he's lucky enough to have the right roles.
Exactly, yeah. And it just, I don't know, ticks me off to no end.
Yeah. Be like, oh, why couldn't I be in that? I don't think I would have any particular problem with him if it was just left alone as, like, he was the guy in Avatar, and that's all we saw of him for a little while, and then he had another movie come out where he played something similar. So many of those people fall by the wayside, but you're right. Having so many just go boom, boom, boom like that could definitely make you annoyed.
And he's exactly the same in all of them.
It's very true.
He has the same horrible American accent. And, you know, the same, like, shaved head and the beach body tan.
Yep.
It's just ridiculous.
There are so many women that fawn over him, though, that there's no way they're going to stop using him anytime soon.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah. And it's really unfortunate.
Yeah, when there's a lot of better people who could play those roles, no doubt.
Exactly.
Although, I thought he was pretty good in Avatar, overall.
Yeah, he's all right. The best part about him was his fake skinny legs.
Yeah.
That was the best part.
I don't have any freakouts this week, so I don't know if you have any more that you want to share or if we should just move on.
I don't know. I guess we can just move on.
All right. Well, in that case, we are going to go to our very first game.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I had warned you about this prior to the show.
I'm not good with games.
You have no idea what we're going to go into, but this is hopefully a game I would like to make into a recurring segment that involves my co-host in whatever particular way.
I'm terrified right now.
Yeah, so you being the film expert that you are, doing your AFI countdown and everything, don't worry, it's not trivia. I'm not going to put you on the spot like that.
I don't know. See, trivia I'm actually kind of good at sometimes. Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll work something like that in the future, but this is a lot more open-ended than that, and there's no wrong answers, so I don't think you have to freak out too much.
I'm not nearly as nervous, though.
Oh, good. Well, then the first game we are going to play is called Top 3.
Three, two, one.
In Top 3, I will give my co-host a category, I guess I should say, and your job is to give me the top three that for you fit into that category in no particular order.
Okay, good.
Yes, because I know half of the problem would be, but I like this, but I like this, and and
that's always the problem,
right? So, and I want to make it a little easier for you. Just give me the top three.
Okay,
so the first category for top three is the top three actors or actresses that can always get you to the theater. You see them on the credits, and you go, well, I have to go to it. It's going to be good. Even if it's not going to be good, I love this person, and I'm going. So who would be your top three for that?
Mine are probably going to be some controversial choices because people don't really like him as much anymore.
Okay.
But we got Tom Cruise.
Okay.
I will see anything he does.
Really?
Yes. I'm a huge Tom Cruise fan. It's actually sickening how much I enjoy him.
Interesting.
Yeah. Another one is, and this is going to make people especially upset because of recent events, but Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson.
Yeah, I'll watch anything Mel Gibson does.
Oh, you just love stirring it up, I think.
I just find him incredibly compelling. I think he's good in everything he's in. Like, I loved Edge of Darkness. I was so happy to see him, you know, come back.
I was just about to ask you about that because I saw the trailer and he's doing the worst Boston accent I've ever heard. And I don't know if I could sit through that.
I don't think it's as bad when you actually watch the movie.
Really?
I had the same problem with Leonardo DiCaprio for Blood Diamond.
Yep.
But if you actually watch the whole movie, it's not that bad.
Huh.
Like in the trailer, I thought it sounded awful, his South African accent. But once you watch it, like in context of the movie, it fits.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. I just really liked Edge of Darkness. It was a lot more violent than I thought it would be.
All right. And who would be your third?
See, I was going to see Christian Bale, but lately, I don't know. Because I was a huge Christian Bale fan, even before he was Batman.
See, he's definitely on my list. Absolutely. He would be one of my top three.
What's that noise?
That would be, I was going to edit that after, but now I have to,
That's
all right. My apartment is above a garage.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, my landlord.
Well, I thought it was like feedback from something, so I kept moving around. I was like, what is that?
No. My landlord just has a regular house and I have an apartment above his garage. So,
oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, it's probably the only interrupting sound you ever hear, but I'll leave it in there now because now that we've talked about it.
I apologize.
No, it's okay. I guess that means in the future, if anyone's familiar with it, it'll be like a little Easter egg. People can listen for the garage door opening and closing.
Now for third, though, I don't know. That's a tough one. I would say someone like Jim Carrey, because I really will watch anything he's in. And I think I have watched everything he's in.
He's fairly consistent. I mean, he scared people a little bit when he went into the drama roles, but he seemed to pull those off as well.
Well, Eternal Sunshine is one of my favorite movies of all time. And, I don't know. It's just everything he does, I'll give it the benefit of the doubt, you know? Like, even the number 23.
Right.
I was like, I'll go see it because it's him. I mean, it ended up being absolutely awful, but still.
Yeah, I get that.
Like, I know those are big names, so they're probably not as... I mean, I guess I could put in there Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh, yeah.
He's a rising star that he's going to be in Inception, actually.
You know what? I think you're, like, hashing out my top three for the most part.
I apologize.
No, that's all right. I wasn't even going to give a response because this is more about the co-host game, but at the same time, I think Joseph Gordon-Levitt, at this point, he's probably the best young actor in Hollywood, in my opinion.
Oh, without a doubt. Since Brick.
Absolutely.
I've been a huge fan. I mean, even before then, I mean, you know, Third Rock from the Sun, I was a fan.
Yeah. So right now, he's definitely in my top three. I would put Christian Bale in mine, not only because I'm a huge Batman fan, but his list of movies, his credits are absolutely phenomenal. So why not give every movie he's in a chance?
It's true. He's always good.
And the third is not nearly as big a name, but I don't know why I have this particular rule, is that I will go see anything that Mark Wahlberg is in.
I was going to say Mark Wahlberg.
Really?
Yeah, I'm dead serious. I was going to say Mark Wahlberg, actually, because I have Entertainment Weekly sitting next to me with Mark Wahlberg on the cover.
No kidding.
And I was like, I love Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, and I don't even know what it is. And I still have some movies I have to get to that he was in. Like, I haven't seen The Happening yet. But overall, I've seen pretty much everything he's in. And for the most part, with a few exceptions, there are almost no bad Mark Wahlberg movies.
No, not at all. I'm one of the people who just really enjoys his performances.
Yeah, I mean, The Big Hit, come on.
The Big Hit's awesome.
It's a great movie.
I love The Big Hit. So I love good. Boogie Nights. I mean,
see, Boogie Nights is one of the exceptions for me. I didn't care for that much.
What? That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Boogie Nights and Fear are the two exceptions for me.
Fear? I mean, The House!
Fear was so bad.
And I'm one of the two people in the world who actually enjoys The Happening. So
interesting. I am going to give it a shot. I just don't know how much I'm going to like it.
It's a fun movie.
Yeah. Okay. I've seen the trailers. I wouldn't think fun would be the first word that would.
It really is, though. Like, the movie is so almost tongue-in-cheek,
really?
You know?
Huh.
And a lot of people didn't like it because they were like, oh, it's so stupid. But I heard these interviews with him where he really seemed to make it like that way on purpose.
Really?
Yeah.
And that was an M. Night Shyamalan movie, right?
Correct.
Huh. Okay. That'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. It's worth watching. It's fun.
All right. So, Todd, I've noticed from listening to your podcast and reading your emails that you seem to like using the word sir a lot.
Sure. I mean, I tend to use it from time to time.
Right. So, it got me thinking that I have all these nicknames for my friends. Like, last episode, I said that Scott's nickname was CK for Clark Kent because he's kind of like the Superman guy. And I don't really have a nickname for you yet.
Sure.
So, I was thinking that you should be Sir Todd, the first knight of the Geek Generation.
Really? The first knight?
Yeah.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. You're going to be the first one and possibly the only one.
Nice.
So now we just need to make it official and give you a proper knighting.
Well, that's not really necessary. I mean, is it?
No. It's not a big deal. I even got a special sword for it and everything. Now, where did I leave that lightsaber?
What? You have a lightsaber? Like a real one?
Totally. I grabbed one from the Lucas compound last time I was there.
What?
I just don't remember where. Hey, Marty, where's that lightsaber?
Who's Marty?
Oh, Marty's just some guy that wanted to intern for us. You'll have to excuse him, though. He's a few crew members short of a starship, if you know what I mean.
You have an intern?
Sure. I mean, why not?
Wow. All right.
I got it right here, boss.
What? That's awesome.
Right? Okay, Marty, just like we practiced.
Wait. He's going to do it?
Well, the guy needs something to do around here.
I don't know, man.
Don't worry, I'm a Gemini.
He means Jedi, right?
Oh, sure.
I dub thee Sir Todd.
Ugh, my ear.
Oopsie.
Idiot.
Todd, don't startle him. He gets scared easy.
He almost cut my ear off.
Yeah!
Marty, no! Marty, stop it!
Watch
it! No! Get out! We are back on the Geek Generation. I have to apologize to Todd. I didn't realize Marty was going to get out of hand like that. Are you feeling all right?
Yeah, I think I'll be fine, you know?
All right, well, I guess that's what you get when you give slow people lightsabers, so
yeah,
I'm really sorry about that.
I think it's really
that.
Your own fault.
Yeah, well, I regret nothing.
Nice.
So we are going to go into a review now. I checked out the A-Team yesterday. And before we get into the review itself, I have to give you the whole story of how this went down because, this was insane. I was so sick of the heat yesterday. Speaking of which, right now, with all the fans off and the AC off in my apartment, I am dying right now.
Oh, I'm sweating balls.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. So yesterday, I just couldn't take the heat. It was getting so hot. So I decided I'm going to go to the movies. Movies has AC. Lots of stuff I want to see. Been meaning to see the A-Team, and I definitely want to see it before it's out of the theaters. So I go to a theater in Dartmouth, not because, well, I do live here, but I go to the theater despite the experiences that I've had there before. I haven't gone to that theater in years. It's a terrible AMC theater, and there's always a problem every time I go. But the reason I went is because I have a gift card, so I can't let that go to waste.
Not at all.
So I go to the theater in Dartmouth, sit down, there's probably 6 or 7 people in the theater, gonna watch the A-Team, starting to watch the previews. There's this hum slowly building up with the sound. And I'm thinking that this is a constant thing when you go to the movie. Sometimes the previews are a little out of whack from the movie itself, and it'll remedy itself, and I'll be able to enjoy the movie. So I'm watching the trailers, and it's getting louder and louder, and it's this, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like an ear-piercing, like, sound. And I'm serious. That's what it was. And I'm looking around the theater to make sure I'm not insane and nobody else is hearing it, because nobody's really reacting to it. So I don't know if I just have dog-like ears and I'm hearing this high-pitched squeal, but nobody else is reacting to it, or maybe they're just too scared to do anything about it. And I have had way too many things in my life ruined because I have not stepped up and done something about it. And I'm about 10 minutes into the actual film, and that sound is not leaving. So I just couldn't take it anymore. I was getting really angry, and I got up, went and got a refund, and left the theater. So I had seen I'd seen the first 10 minutes of the A-Team, and that noise just drove me crazy to the point where I had to leave. I was like, you know how you just fixate on something and you can hear nothing else?
Oh, yeah.
It was totally like that. So I couldn't enjoy the movie at all. So I went up, I left, came back here, regrouped, kind of started getting warm again, checked the movie times for the theater I normally go to in Seekonk, which is like a half hour away. And yes, I make that kind of dedication for movies.
So, I do all the time.
Yeah. You got to go to the best place, because if you're going to see it subpar, it's not even worth going to. So I check up the movie times. There's another one playing in an hour in Seekonk, the A-Team again. It's a half hour drive away. I'm like, awesome. I get going, grab my Sour Patch Kids that I sneak into the theater, because you always got to sneak some food into the theater. But I pay for an icy because I'm still a patron, and it was a really hot day, and I wanted an icy. So I go sit down. Movie's great. Watched it all the way through. No problems whatsoever. So now the review itself. The A-Team. Awesome translation from TV show to movie. What do you think? I know you've seen it.
I agree 100%. I've seen it twice.
You've seen it twice already?
Yeah.
So that's definitely a pro for that movie then.
Definitely. You know, the second time I saw it, I went to, not unlike you, I went to a theater that always has problems.
Yep.
And so I'm sitting there watching it, and all of a sudden, like, you know, someone's talking, they're like, blah, 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 blah. Oh. And the sound and screen just go black.
Oh.
And everyone's like, all right. And then bruh, comes back on again.
No kidding.
Keeps going. Yeah. For like 5 minutes, and then goes bruh, again.
Oh my goodness.
It did it three times.
Did you say anything when you were leaving?
Nah.
No?
No, it was the second time I saw it. It didn't bother me so much.
See, the first time I saw Spider-Man 2, I was in a theater where the vertical hold started to mess up, and all of a sudden the top, I would say, 10% of the screen ended up on the bottom 10% of the screen. And
it happened to me when I saw Night and Day.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, and awful. You saw an early screening of that, right?
Yeah, with Scott Toomey.
Wow. So, wow, that's surprising that when they have probably a studio screening, right, for the early one. So I'm surprised that they would be that lax about a studio screening to have issues.
Yeah, and it sucks. I worked at a movie theater for about 4 years, and what people in the theater never seem to realize is, like, when something like that happens, no one knows it's happening. And they're always in the theater yelling, just yelling. I'm like, no one can hear you. They're not at the screen right now. That's why it's going wrong.
See, that's what I figured, because projectors are done so differently, I believe, these days, where they don't need to be manned all the time.
Yeah, and they have to start a lot of movies around the same time. So they're not going to be right at your window, you know?
Right. And even I think the problem that with the audio that I was hearing, I don't think anyone could have done anything about it anyway. I think it was just bad sound equipment.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So aside from that screw up, the movie was, I loved it. I thought the performances, the casting was awesome. I knew that spot on from seeing the trailers originally. The only one that I was a little hesitant about casting wise was Liam Neeson. Because,
yep.
Granted, he's the best actor of the group, but at the same time, I didn't really see him as Hannibal.
Yeah.
To have him in a role like that was like overkill.
He loves it when a plan comes together, you know?
He does. That's true.
Yeah.
But I guess overkill was kind of the theme of the movie anyway.
Definitely, yeah. It was balls to the wall like the entire time.
It was. And they could have done that in such a stupid way, and they chose to actually be creative, which I loved that they put the effort into.
Yeah, it was, I mean, I loved everything about it, really. It was funny. The action was pretty awesome.
Yep.
Like you said, the casting was fantastic. Like Sholto Copley, wow. I mean, who knew from just seeing District 9 that he'd be that, you know, that good in that role?
Oh, seriously, he was awesome.
Yeah, he was hysterical.
And he was almost more insane than the Murdoch that we're used to.
Yeah.
But it worked out so well. It was great. The one thing that I didn't notice, maybe you did seeing it more than once, is I didn't notice any cameos from the original cast, which I was hoping for.
Oh, it's after the credits.
Oh, I didn't stay. Oh, I always stay. Why didn't I stay?
Yeah, I didn't stay the first time. And then I heard that, so I stayed after the second time.
Oh, bummer. Is it? Oh, I don't even know if I want to ask because I want to see it.
It's just Face and Murdoch.
Is it?
Yeah, because Mr. T hates the movie and he didn't want anything to do with it.
Oh, well, that's disappointing.
Yeah. It's a funny little scene, though.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely going to check that out then. I'm sure it's on YouTube at this point.
Yeah, probably.
Cool. All right, well, that's the review of the A-Team.
Sorry to interrupt you again.
No, go ahead.
But I'm really bummed that the movie didn't do very well because I would love to see a second one. And I think putting John Hamm at the end as the new Agent Lynch would have been awesome.
Yeah.
Like having him be, you know, the bad guy in the sequel.
And they definitely left it open for a sequel. It almost takes us into the series at this point.
Well, yeah, especially with that end credit with the monologue from the show.
Definitely. And see, awesome. I thought I don't know if I want to give anything away. I guess it's not. All right. I guess I won't say it. Should I throw a spoiler alert up?
Yeah, throw a spoiler. It's been out long enough.
All right, spoiler alert right here. The time when they escape from the prison near the beginning of the movie, I thought that was the escape that they're talking about in the opening credits of the A-Team.
Oh, yeah, I did too.
But then it's later on that we find out is the escape, so I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, that was a really cool little twist they threw in there.
Definitely. And the one thing I really have to give the movie credit for, and I really, really wish Hollywood would pay attention, not only in adaptations from TV to movies, but also video games and comic books and any source material, is it's okay to make modifications. And there were a few modifications, but they stayed incredibly faithful to the source material.
Yes.
Just in the tone, the ridiculousness that the A-Team is, the characters were all spot on, and we were given as fans what we wanted to see. And the fact that they appreciate their fan base and stayed so true to the source material gives them a lot of respect from me.
You know what I thought was weird? When the Losers came out, a lot of people were like, I'm not going to go see it. It's too much like the A-Team.
And yeah, I can see that.
And I didn't think it was fair to the movie because it's based on a comic, you know. And the Losers was actually a pretty fun movie. But you know what's really weird is that the Losers and the A-Team, both of their climaxes, take place at the exact same location.
No kidding.
Yeah, they both take place on those L.A. docks with all those cargo bins.
See, I haven't seen the Losers yet. I think it looks really good.
It's a really fun movie. That's a cool movie.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to check that out, too.
Comes out on DVD in like 3 weeks.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I'll definitely check it out then.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then that's our review of the A-Team. We're going to take a quick break right here so Todd and I can regroup because it is hot and I need to get some more water. I don't know about you.
I'm sweating like crazy. I need some more.
Yeah, all right. So we'll be back in just a moment. We are back on the Geek Generation. We just came out of a little break there, and water's all refilled. We're good to go. Before we get into the news, I just want to put the poll question out to the audience. We got a few responses in this week. I'd love to get more next week. Since we talked about the A-Team and gave our review of that, I would like to ask the audience, what show from the 80s would you like to see adapted into a movie? You can send your responses into podcast@thegeekgeneration.com, or if you're on Twitter, you can send those to @GeekGeneration. Off the top of your head, if you don't want to think about writing one for next week, is there a particular 80s show you'd like to see converted, Todd?
That's a really good question.
I can give you time to think about it if you don't want to be put on the spot.
I hate being put on the spot.
Which is why you were so scared about the game, right?
Exactly. That's why I was terrified.
But you did so well with that, so...
With a lot of the stuff I liked, the shows, I mean, they've already done.
That's true. They have done a lot of them.
I mean, it's tough. Like, I don't know. I'm in my DVD room, and I'm looking at all the DVDs I have of television shows and stuff.
See, I have one in mind already, but I don't know if I want to give it out because I don't want other people to say it, so I don't know if I should wait till next week or not.
Well, I mean, you're the host. That's true. They can't steal from you. That wouldn't be very fair.
That's true. Well, off the top of my head, the first 80s show that I would think of is I want to see a redo of The Greatest American Hero.
Oh, yeah.
I think that could be a funny movie if done the right way and they treat it similar to the A-Team, keep it very comedic. I almost can envision Jim Carrey in that role.
People love that show. I never really got into it when I was younger.
I liked it a lot when I was little, I think because it made it so possible to be a superhero. Like, he didn't have to do anything. It was just a suit. He puts it on, he has powers. And he can take it off, and then he doesn't have powers.
Rob, I have an answer.
Yes.
I was thinking about it long and hard while you were talking.
Long time.
And I don't know if you'd consider it 80s. I would. But I would love to see even a series of movies of Quantum Leap.
Oh, good one.
I was a huge Quantum Leap fan growing up, and I think that would be a cool movie to see.
That would be a cool movie. That would be very tough to make into a movie.
Yeah. That's why I thought maybe a series of movies. But
Right.
I don't know. I think I would just really be into that.
Can you see him jumping like 2 or 3 times in the same movie?
Yeah, definitely. I don't see why not.
Yeah. That would be really interesting to tackle with that kind of dynamic.
Yeah.
Good answer. All right. See, look, it put on the spot and you did just fine.
Pulled it out of my cockles.
All right. In that case, we are going to move on to news. Big news story this week. Andrew Garfield is the new Spider-Man. I took a look at his IMDb page, which didn't seem to have much on it. It's kind of a gangly stick man. He looks a little bit like a spider. So I guess he's got that going for him.
He's the new Sam Worthington. He's in like every movie all of a sudden.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's in like a bunch of movies coming out. Like he's going to be in The Social Network, the Facebook movie.
That's right. That's like the one movie I saw in there that I recognized.
Yeah, and he was in The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus.
True.
And he was just, it's the new Mark Pellington movie, I believe. The name of the movie reminds me of a Third Eye Blind song, Never Let Me Go.
I think
is the name of the movie.
Yes, that's right. Yep, you're correct.
But so, he's doing a lot of stuff recently, and it kind of reminds me of Sam Worthington, how he comes out of nowhere, and he's just in a bunch of movies.
I just made the connection to the Third Eye Blind song. So. Well done, sir. Well done. What do you think about him as casting for Spider-Man, though?
I mean, I would have to see him. I've only seen The Imaginary of Dr. Parnassus, but I don't really remember him in it. I mean, he's a big part in it, but I mean, I was so fixated on, you know, Heath Ledger's performance that everyone else kind of got blocked out of my mind.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I don't think I'm familiar enough with him as an actor to really make a judgment on it. And this is going to be a really interesting reboot in that Mark Webb doesn't have a huge film credit behind him.
Yeah, only 500 Days of Summer.
Right. So they got a lot of fresh talent on this one. And I'm really curious to see how it's going to pan out.
I think I'm pretty sure I have faith in the studios enough as it is. I mean, like, I didn't like Tobey Maguire. I thought Topher Grace should have been Spider-Man, but usually like the casting with the superhero movies is pretty good. Like
it tends to be, yeah.
Yeah, I always have my doubts at first. Like even Heath Ledger, I was like, why Heath Ledger? But then, you know, look at that, how that turned out.
Right. Yeah. I had that same thought right away, but at the same time, and when people asked me and everybody asked me, they're like, oh, what do you think of Heath Ledger as the Joker? I just told them all that I trust Chris Nolan. And
yeah, that's exactly how I turned out to be. I was like, just trust him. I mean, you know.
Right. So I don't even – there's no one here to trust, I guess. So that's
why I had some, you know, skepticism about it.
Yeah, it's going to be a wait-and-see type thing, I guess.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else? Infamous 2 gameplay has been shown on Spike's GTTV, which is short for Game Trailers Television. The trailer, I think, looks really cool. Are you a PS3 or a Xbox guy?
I hate Xbox. I'm PS3 all the way.
Woo! Good, because I was fighting with Scott last week.
Yeah, I heard that.
Have you played the first Infamous?
I loved Infamous.
Great game.
It was such a good game.
Infamous 2 appears to be somewhat in the same vein, but also a bit of an evolution. Cole's looking a lot different. He has hair now.
Yeah, he looks really different.
Yeah, he's got more of a superhero type costume. He's got that weapon that looks really cool.
For different voice actor too.
Melee stuff. I noticed that too. I wasn't sure how I felt about that, but yeah, I guess I'll be all right. The one thing that I wish I had seen in the gameplay that too many games I think are going this route is that the enemy appears to be some sort of a mutant or alien type thing.
The beast they referred to in the first game?
Yeah, we got that a little bit in the first game, but you see the Reavers have like the big claws on them and two and all this stuff now. And I, as a superhero, I want to fight supervillains.
Yeah.
So I think hopefully, I'm hoping Infamous will eventually go in that direction. My favorite part of the first game was fighting the other superpowered humans, not the Reavers or the mutants or anything like that. Yeah.
And I don't want to give any spoilers away, but the ending of the first Infamous was so awesome.
Oh, so good.
Like when you find out who the bad guy is, I was just like, what?
Yeah, that was such an awesome twist that, yeah, I never saw it coming and I loved it.
Not at all. And another thing that's cool about Infamous 2 is the ice.
Yes, yes. His powers seem to have evolved and has ice powers now too.
I also heard that there's going to be like an electric tornado type thing.
Awesome.
And you know how you can grind the electricity grind?
Yes, yes.
Now you can grind up buildings so you don't have to worry about taking 8 hours to climb a building if you're chasing something.
Not only up, but sideways, they show in the gameplay trailer. I don't know if
really?
You watched it.
Oh, that's awesome. I haven't got a chance to watch the trailer yet.
Oh, definitely check that out. Well, the other thing, I don't know if this is the tornado you were referring to, but at the end of the gameplay trailer, there's a helicopter firing after Cole. He turns around and unwields this, like, almost Hadouken-sized...
Hadouken!
This, like, huge electrical ball. And it's like an EMP going down the whole street. Cars
that
blow up or flying.
Was,
I think they're calling it like the electrical vortex or something like that.
So awesome.
Awesome looking. So
I can't
cool.
Wait.
Yeah, it's going to be a great game.
There's a lot of games coming out from E3 that I can't wait to get my hands on.
Oh, I know. That would be like a whole episode in itself. No doubt. We have a clarification from a news story last week. We reported that Hulu Plus, the subscription service that's going to be $9.99 a month from Hulu, you'll be able to use it on various network devices, including your PS3, iPod, iPhone, and Xbox 360. There was concern that people would need to subscribe to the PlayStation Plus premium service in order to use the Hulu Plus service. Hulu put out a clarification to address those rumors. You will need PlayStation Plus during the preview period of Hulu Plus. However, once it goes into its public launch, you will not need PlayStation Plus. You will only need the Hulu Plus subscription. You download the application onto your PS3, and with just the Hulu Plus subscription, you may use it on your PS3 in that way.
Thank God.
Yeah. I still don't know if I'm going to be a Hulu Plus user. I don't get cable because it's just way too expensive. But if I was going to get something, I think Hulu Plus is not a bad option considering the price.
All.
And I'm okay with them keeping commercials in. At the level they have it now, it's not a lot of commercials compared to any other thing that you watch. So,
well, yeah,
I'm all
right. I mean, with cable, you're paying, what, like $100 a month? And you get, you know, 3 minutes of commercials every 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's totally
with this,
ridiculous.
You're paying $10 a month and you're getting like 30-second ads.
Not to mention HD quality video.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't see why people complain about it. I'm just glad I don't have to pay $50 a year just to pay $10 a month.
Right. Absolutely, yeah. It's such a relief to not have to worry about the PlayStation Plus service because I really have no interest in that.
Yeah, not at all.
Moving on. Judd Apatow is producing a new Pee-wee Herman movie. It is being described as a road pick built around a, quote, gigantic adventure. Redundancy much? That's just... Pee-wee's big adventure again.
Well, I mean, he is like 20 years older, so maybe, you know.
I don't know. I was never a big Pee-wee Herman fan. And we do a little geek generation math for you, in my opinion, you have Pee-wee Herman, which is a zero, plus Judd Apatow, in my opinion, which is a zero. So that comes out to total crap fest.
Wow. I'm like the exact opposite of the spectrum.
Oh, really? See, yeah. I don't like Judd Apatow and I don't like Pee-wee Herman that much. So I really don't care about this one.
I really like Pee-wee Herman and most of the Judd Apatow movies I really like.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you think Seth Rogen's going to end up in it?
That's what I was saying. I was saying he's probably going to be like the comic foil.
Yeah, there's a good chance, I think.
I like Seth Rogen, though, so I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of him either, so. I'm reconsidering if I should be taking your advice on movies.
Yeah, I know, right?
We released the trailer this week, or not we didn't, but we did share it with you. Trailer for a new Industrial Light Magic movie. It is their first full-length animated film. Rango, which is voiced by, the main character, I should say, is voiced by Johnny Depp. Have you watched the trailer?
I have.
What do you think?
I think it looks beautiful.
But?
No, there's no but. Okay. I think it looks beautiful. I couldn't get over how good the animation was.
Yeah, Industrial Light and Magic is an absolutely phenomenal company, and I'm sure everyone's very familiar with them. I didn't even know they were coming out with a featured, like, a full-length animated movie, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I had no idea until I just saw it pop up on Joe Blow one day.
Yeah.
I was like, what's this?
The one thing, and I agree with you, that it looks absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
But the one thing I don't like is I am not a huge fan of movies that take place in the desert.
Yeah, me either. That's one of the things I had, like, a problem I had with it.
Right. And looking at the trailer, it didn't look like we were getting a huge diversity of scenarios, so, or scenery, I should say. So to have, I don't know if it's a lazy way out in an animated movie to have a lot of backgrounds that look very similar and environments that are all the same, but I don't know. I mean, I'm going to watch it, but I'm scared.
I think this was very much a teaser. So they were kind of just trying to showcase some of the animation. I'm hoping that there'll be a lot more going on because there really wasn't any story given away in the trailer, in the teaser.
Right.
So I'm hoping, you know, with Gore Verbinski, who is a very visual director.
It's true.
That there will be, you know, a lot of locations and stuff. And I don't know if you noticed this. I can't remember if I mentioned it on my podcast, but did you notice that at one point Rango slammed against the hood of a car or the windshield and the guy looked just like the Hunter S. Thompson character in Fear and Loathing?
I did notice that, but only because I had already listened to your podcast.
Oh, my God.
No, but you're right, though. He absolutely does. If you pause it on that frame and you take a quick look, he's almost dressed up similar to the character of Rango himself as well, just without the hat.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah, so that is a little interesting Easter egg in there. And the movie itself, I do hope, explores some more lush environments, because I think about other animated movies like The Incredibles, where they're all over the place, like Ice Age, where the backgrounds are so beautiful. And I really want to see that, especially from Industrial Light and Magic, when they have the footage we saw looked so amazing itself. I really want to see them attack all those different environments.
I bet your or our mutual friend Megan probably won't see this movie, right?
Yeah, anything non-Pixar is not something she wants to see. However, she did tell me that, well, she'll be taking care of me one night next week because I have to go in for knee surgery and I can't drive anywhere for a couple days. I'm going to be on crutches. And she has sacrificially said that she will watch a DreamWorks animated movie of my choosing if
That's
I
awesome.
Felt the need to subject her to that. So while it wasn't necessarily in my mind to do so, I think I have to capitalize on the opportunity.
That's awesome. It's really too bad that How to Train Your Dragon isn't out on DVD because that movie was amazing.
Yeah, and I didn't get a chance to see it when it was out in the theaters, and I've heard nothing but good things about it. I really do want to see it.
That was one movie that I actually wanted to see in 3D, and I went and saw it at IMAX. And, I mean, some of the flying scenes were just, like, breathtaking.
Then you're making me really wish I had seen it when it was
out. It was so good. I couldn't get over how much I love that movie. And the score was beautiful. I actually downloaded the score, and I have it on my iPod.
See, seeing the trailer when it was first being put out there, I was like, that looks way too kiddie.
Awful trailer. It was an awful trailer.
Oh, well, that's a lot of big relief then, because I do want to see it then. That looks great.
It was great, yeah.
Uncharted 2 news. Are you an Uncharted 2 player?
I beat the game. I loved it.
Fantastic game.
But I don't play
it anymore. while one of the best single-player experiences that I've ever had, I love the multiplayer. I'm not a big multiplayer guy in general.
Yeah, me either.
I was in the beta for the multiplayer for Uncharted 2, and I got addicted then. So I was dying for it to actually come out so I could keep playing, and I'm still playing. And Uncharted 2 has been very smart about its multiplayer content. The lab is something that they've been releasing for multiplayer. It's almost like a testing area where they're putting out all these different multiplayer scenarios and will eventually be adopting some of them into the actual game itself. But in these little testing scenarios that tend to last for a weekend only, the July schedule from July 9th to the 12th, the Uncharted 2 lab will have plunder pistols only. So it's that capture the flag type gameplay. And everyone will be on equal footing as far as their weaponry because everyone will only be able to use pistols. On July 23rd to the 26th, it's grenades only gameplay, which is going to be totally insane. I can't wait to do that one because the cheap little move to do in Uncharted 2, and I guess it's not necessarily cheap because you can still get away, as soon as someone kills you or you think you're going to die, people tend to drop a grenade in hopes that they will get an afterlife kill.
Yeah.
So a grenades only gameplay should be very, very interesting, I think.
I actually have a funny story about the Uncharted. Well, not really funny, just how much stubborn I am.
Go ahead.
When you know how the beta came out with Infamous?
Yes.
So I was in the beta for, I downloaded it. It took, you know, however long to download the beta. I went into it. It opened up in that like ice level or whatever.
Yep.
I took one step, got shot, ejected it, and never played it again. I don't like multiplayer. I just get so frustrated playing it.
Is there a lot of just paranoia for you, or
it's not so much paranoia. It's just that like I'm not good at video games. I play them and I beat them and I love them and I feel like I'm good at them when I'm playing them just by myself. But I'm not at the level of all these people who play online for 8,000 hours. You know, like Modern Warfare 2, I loved the campaign. Won't even try to go on multiplayer.
See, I think I have one of those. I have that similar experience where I go into a game. I used to play Halo with a friend of mine who played so much that he knows every single spawn point in the game.
Yeah, exactly.
So you end up spawning and you die in 2 seconds and then that's it. And where's the fun in that? That hasn't happened to me yet in Uncharted 2. I almost feel like it's ruined for you that happened, and I beg that you give it a second chance because
well, I already
it is,
traded the game in.
Oh,
so it's never going to happen.
Oh, that's a bummer. See, we could have started a clan, man. I have nobody I'm playing with right now, so we could have done that.
But, could have been the Giants of Podcasting clan.
And that's right. GOP. And no, wait a minute. I don't know if we want to go in with GOP. I'm going to sound terrible that way. All right, so Uncharted 2 multiplayer, new lab things coming out. Check those out when they do. Last piece of news for today is Guitar Hero is getting track packs for Queen, Avenged Sevenfold, Disturbed, and Shinedown, all coming out in July. Queen is available now. You can go get that with other songs. Others are releasing throughout the rest of July. Every week you'll get a different one of those artists. If you want to check out the full schedule for those and the tracks that are being released, you can go to thegeekgeneration.com and check out that article. The one thing that aggravates me about Guitar Hero, and I remember talking to you about this a little bit, you're a Rock Band fan, right?
No, I'm neither. I was just wondering
if
you were going to get Rock Band 3.
Yeah, I haven't looked into Rock Band 3 so much. I might, but I don't want to buy all these peripherals again. So I think I'm kind of stuck on board with Guitar Hero. And gameplay-wise, I'm more of a Guitar Hero fan anyway. I never cared for Rock Band's gameplay because it just didn't feel the same. But the one complaint I have with Guitar Hero is why Rock Band gets all these amazing artists and tracks, and Guitar Hero gets, like, the Bubblegum Ya-Ya's and the Butt Pirates and all these stupid, stupid bands that I've never heard of.
Yeah, and now Rock Band's doing that cool thing where, like, they're coming out with the almost real guitar.
They are. They're going to.
And I think
guitar,
that's really
believe,
fascinating.
Has strings, and not only that. As far as track things, Rock Band has the Rock Band Network. So now, music producers themselves can be the ones putting out the music content and charging for it that way, so they can make the money directly on DLC.
And they're going to have a keyboard, right?
They are.
That's cool.
And all those things, keyboard seems like a very logical addition. So I give them a lot of credit, and they are the original creators of this franchise. I mean, Activision bought the Guitar Hero franchise from the original creators, and then the creators went off and created Rock Band.
Huh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so they know what they're doing, and I don't know what my issue is necessarily with it. And I would switch over if I didn't put so much money into all these peripherals already.
You can't use those with Rock Band? I thought they were like interchangeable.
You might be able to, but I can see the Rock Band 3 game not having that ability.
Yeah.
Because they would want people to buy their stuff instead. And they want people to switch over to their franchise, I would think.
So I'm assuming because you love Guitar Hero, you also love DJ Hero.
No. No, I don't. I have heard it's a great game. However, the genre just does not appeal to me. Granted, I did play DDR when that was a fad, and I do have a pad for that. But that was active, at least. I felt like I was doing exercise as well.
Yeah. That was just all for the wrestling.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that's totally what it was. Very macho. I just can't get into the genre of music that DJ Hero is, and I can't imagine that being a ton of fun using a DJ Scratch as opposed to feeling like a rock star. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I'll stick with Guitar Hero. The other thing I don't understand about Guitar Hero is I took a look at the list of songs that are coming out in these track packs, and I don't know why they choose the songs they do. They seem to pick things that are more obscure or just very recent songs that are being released. Like Shinedown's track pack has the song The Sound of Madness, which I believe is their latest single from that album of the same name. But I think it's their fourth or fifth single off the album, which means not necessarily one of the better songs. So
yeah.
I don't want that. I want some of the better stuff. So instead
of
buying
the good stuff.
Right. So I think I'm going to opt to buy some of the singles instead of the track packs themselves. But I am very pumped that they're finally getting some great music. I don't care so much about the Queen track pack, but Avenged Sevenfold, Disturbed, and Shinedown, I'm all very pumped about. And I hear you laughing. So
again, though, we're on the exact opposite of the spectrum.
Yeah, I've heard your music choice from your podcasts. And I do like some of that music, especially the comedy stuff like Hard and Firm. But I am much more of a hard rock guy than I am kind of.
I love a lot of metal.
Yeah.
But I don't play it on the podcast just because, you know, I just feel like no one would like a lot of the metal that I listen to in the rock. So I just play the more, you know, not mellow, but, you know, just more accessible stuff.
Yeah. Well, I was shocked when I heard Metallica as a lead in for one of your after break songs.
I'm a big Metallica fan.
See, I'm not a huge Metallica fan.
Well, I'm not huge, but I'm big enough as in that's one of the mainstream rock bands that I like.
Well, then I'm going to go ahead and put a request on you to end your next podcast with a little more of a hard rockin' song.
I'll try. I just feel like, I guess people don't really listen to it anyway. I'm sure people don't listen to the songs, so maybe I will.
I'll be honest with you. I listen to the one coming out of the commercial because I know it's going into more content,
yeah.
But I don't tend to listen to the one at the end.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I guess that kind of wraps us up for today.
Nice.
I am going to put out the poll question one more time so people can get their emails and tweets in that way. The question is, what show from the 80s would you like to see adapted into a movie? You can send your answers to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com. Or if you're on Twitter, you can send those responses to @geekgeneration. Todd, I'm going to give you an opportunity to plug here since you took the time out to hang out with me today.
Sounds great.
So what would you like to plug?
I want to say again that I think the only answer is Quantum Leap for that.
Quantum Leap.
That's the only good answer.
It might be. It might be.
You can find me on Twitter. I'm Todd Tizzle, T-I-Z-Z-L-E. And our website for the podcast is www.hectorandtodd.com. And we're Dangerous Memories.
Good.
On the iTunes.
Excellent. Yeah, so go on iTunes, search for Dangerous Memories, subscribe to that. You guys are doing a great job so far. I really like listening to it.
Thank you very much.
And you're probably one of the only podcasts I listen to that's consistent and actually comes out every week.
Yeah, I get really anxious if we can't do it. And we haven't had that. We had like 1 week where Hector was like, there's something I have to do. And I was like, listen, we have to do it.
Yeah. My plan was to do this every other week. And I felt myself getting antsy that I really wanted to do it. But I also have the time right now. So I don't know. We might go to bi-weekly in the future. And actually, I don't know what's going to happen next week. I don't have a co-host lined up yet. And as I mentioned before, I have knee surgery on Tuesday, and that's a result of 6 years of pro wrestling. So
well, listen,
yeah.
I'm available whenever you need me.
Awesome. That's great, because I think this was a good episode, and I'd love to have you back again.
Nice.
All right, let's do a few more plugs before we get out of here. If you like the show, I ask you again to please tell your friends. We love having listeners, and we love having audience participation, so please send in your emails. Please tell your friends. Share it on Facebook, share it on Twitter. Anything you do, I consider a big favor to me personally. So I thank you already for that. If you want to visit the site, you can check out show notes for this particular podcast in general, as well as seeing links to other things and all the articles that we talked about in the news today. The site is www.thegeekgeneration.com. There's a button on there to subscribe to us in iTunes. Please rate the show and write a review while you're there. That increases our rankings and our visibility in the iTunes store, and hopefully we'll get more listeners that way. There's a donation button where you can give me money for free just because you feel like being a nice person. I appreciate that. You can also buy a Geek Generation t-shirt. We get profits from that as well. If you have questions, comments, or just want to insult us, again, that address is podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on Twitter. If you would like to submit an article, you can do that now. We allow guest writers to send in things every now and then. You can send articles to guest@geekgeneration.com. Please remember to include your name so I can give you credit if and when I post it. And as always, the show theme is provided by Machine Supremacy. A link to their site and their music can be found on our site. So before we get out of here, I just want to thank you, Todd, one more time for sitting down with me today and having a good time. So thank you again.
Thank you, sir.
And we will see you next time on The Geek Generation. Geek out.